and welcome to a mini bubble of My Streaming Bubble, the podcast where I talk about the shows I love with the people I tolerate. I'm your TV watching and talking host, Jen, and today is a watch and react mini bubble for a movie picked by you, the listeners, the followers. That sounds culty, but you know what I mean. On the socials and everything, I posted polls on Twitter, Threads, Facebook, Instagram. I recently downloaded the Blue Sky to check that out. And Aaron at It's a Podcast, It's a Fandom Thing podcast, was saying how it's very much like Twitter. And it very much is, layout-wise and everything. So maybe this is what the former Twitter employees created, which is something I did tweet at that time, that all the fired Twitter employees should get together and create tweeters. And then, you know, it's a Schitt's Creek reference for those that maybe don't get it or just think I'm silly and call it tweeters, which I do that sometimes. Anyway, sorry. Coffee's fresh, flowing through my body. I have no control over what is happening right now. Anyway, so I did tally up all the votes from all the socials, all the polls posted all over. And yes, I did count them correctly this time. And I even had our 10-year-old double check the math because he loves math. That kid does that shit for fun. I have no idea where he gets it. I'm terrible at math. Maybe it's like in every other generation. I don't fucking know. But he double checked it. It's correct. Midsommar won. I think I'm pronouncing that right. Midsommar? Somar. Somar. Anyway. So you guys really want me to watch this movie and give my reactions to it. So that's what I'm here to do. I'm going to read all the IMDb stuff at the end of the episode. Because, surprise, I don't know what this movie is about. And I have been interested in watching it since it came out in 2019. God, that seems, that shouldn't be as long ago as it is. But I managed to stay away from spoilers. Again, I'm not sure entirely how I'm able to do that, but I did it. So here we are. I will also, because this movie, in case you don't know, was up against Hereditary, which I also have not seen and also do not know what that's about. It's Toni Collette, so either way, I'm sure it's going to be amazing. I'm thinking about just doing a regular episode on that one with a tolerable. So if anyone is interested in joining me for that, please let me know. Nothing scheduled yet, obviously, because I just kind of like do shit on a whim because I'm super organized. So, like I said, I don't know what this movie is about. I'm going to guess like something culty, having to do with cults, hippie. Yeah. What are you doing down here? You're supposed to be out on the porch. So, yeah, no clue what this movie is about. I know that Florence Pugh is in it. And she's got like the flower crown thing and she looks sad. So that's why I'm kind of going cult. Is there maybe like a human sacrifice? And oh my God, is this the woman's Wicker Man? Is this Wicker Woman? Anyway, there's only one true way to find out, and that is hit and play on this bitch. Okay, so I've got it up on HBO because that's where it's streaming. And right there in the brief synopsis, it just shows a couple's trip to Sweden devolves into an increasingly violent and bizarre competition at the hands of a pagan cult. So, ooh, it is a cult. And pagans. So, all right. Play has been hit. Let's do this. That mural's kind of creepy. It's the sun's face that's weirding me out. Not so much the skull in the sky. And I bet this just tells the whole movie, right? Wait, don't go. Jesus Christ, that phone scared the shit out of me. Not even 5 minutes into the movie. I'm so jumpy. I don't know if we're always supposed to be able to read what's on like someone's computer screen when they have a, when they show it and until they zoom in on like a specific message like they just did. But I can never see that shit. I'm not really going to pause it to find out. Smoked some resin with Mark. Ew. It's like a move of a desperate stoner. So I've heard. I think I read it in a book once. I just have to say real quick that the crying is on par. Like the little bit of tearing up that's coming down. Not just that, but the snot drippies. She had snot drippies. That's... I'm impressed with the snot. It's good to know I'm not the only blubbery mess. Gets all snotty and gross when I'm sad. Then he's a dick. If he's not going to be supportive of you. Like, who is that guy to her anyway? Is that like her boyfriend? Is it a newer-ish boyfriend? Is she away because of the family stuff? Who is that guy? Why is he making her question herself? I don't like him. I don't like him. All right. I don't know who this dude is with the longer hair and the green sweater sitting here in the diner with Christian. I don't know, doing their little boy talk thing. But he looked like Cousin Larry from Perfect Strangers. I swear to God, he looks like Cousin Eddie. It's the eyes and the hair. I promise I'm paying attention to the movie. Uh-oh. Danny called him crying. Oh. Vehicle accident, fire, something. What is happening? Oh, parents are dead. I wondered. Did the parents just die? Had they been dead? Because they looked a little dead in the very beginning. What the hell? Holy shit. Did she have a tube duct taped to her face that had been connected to the exhaust of a vehicle? Oh, fuck. That's fucking messed up. Whoa. Is that Chidi? Where's Danny's friends? Does she have friends? She was talking to that one lady. Is that a friend? Why is she alone? I don't like it. I don't like this guy. I don't like Christian. Ugh, now she's apologizing. I don't like this dude. Does he die? I hope he fucking dies. Because right now, I really wouldn't mind that. He's being very insensitive. Because you know what? That is really fucking weird. Like, whatever. If he wants to go to Sweden, fine. But like, why does she have to find out about it in front of everybody? That's not okay. Fuck that guy. See, he can tell his buddies about how he invited his pseudo-girlfriend with them. Privately, before she got there, before they just find out in public. Ugh. I hope they all fucking die. And I want it to be satisfying. I'm not sure how that has to go right now. Since this probably isn't like the slasher type where they would die violent, bloody, gory deaths. But like... something worse, something more psychologically damaging, and then die. I'm obsessed with them dying. And how are you doing? Oh, well, you know, aside from the fact that my family's dead, fantastic, and my boyfriend's a fucking douchebag, great, is what she should have said. Oh, Cousin Larry's part of the cult? Yep. Oh, last year's May Queen. I bet the May Queen is sacrificed to appease, I don't know, whomever they worship. But Cousin Larry seems a little too okay with her coming. And that is extremely sus because I don't like these guys. He was very sorry to hear about her family's passing. He seems just a little too okay with her coming. Like, I think he's getting ready to, like, nominate her for this year's May Queen. Is it May Queen like a mayfly? They don't live very long. But that's my guess for right now. They're in Sweden and I'm trying to see what the road signs say. Like, I'm not going to know what the road sign says. Yeah, she wants to get settled and not just start tripping balls in a strange place with a bunch of weird people in a cult. Wow, that might have been the nicest thing he's done so far, is wait to do his drugs for when his girlfriend, pseudo-girlfriend or whatever, is ready to do her drugs. Still don't like him. Oh, she's ready. Ugh, I hate these guys. No, don't. No, don't do it, Danny. Oh, no. Ugh, I don't like this for her. Oh, fuck. It's a new person. A very relatable line in for, like, all situations. Like, none of that screams cult to anybody. Although, if you told me there's, like, a 9-day feast somewhere, I'd be there. Of course Christian forgot it's your birthday. It is his fault. Ugh. 4 years, and he's such a piece of shit. I wouldn't be ignoring the bear. Honestly. Well, that was a very interesting storytelling tapestry of what looked to be witchcraft. Yeah, what happens at 72? He makes a, you know, deadzo sign. And everyone's just like, seriously, though, that is a specific age. Why don't they get it? Why? That group of women with the lady holding the baby and they're just swaying back and forth is unsettling. Yes, you should be, Danny. You should be upset at him for a lot of things. Ugh. Yeah, and how did Christian all of a sudden remember her birthday? I feel like Cousin Larry told him. I don't think he just remembered, because I don't think he's capable of that. You know, I don't know if a 9-day feast is worth being around that many people doing weird cult-like stuff. Their yellow triangle temple tent thing looks a lot like the symbol for KOA campgrounds. Just saying. Are they gonna yeet the old couple off this cliff thingy in front of everybody? You know, and all their ceremonial ritual stuff is odd enough. But then the fact that they do everything so slowly and silently just makes it that much more unsettling. And, like, I don't like it. I don't know how anyone else isn't like, huh, like, maybe cheaty. But he seems more interested in kind of studying it and learning about this way of their family, their ceremony, religion, what have you. And, like, that's fine, but at what point are you just like, ah, oh, this is not okay? Is it gonna be when they yeet the old people off the cliff? Oh, no yeeting, just the slicing. See, slow and silently. That was weird. I'm, like, really, really tense right now. Oh, my God. Jesus. Oh, that's gross. I like how that other couple's like appropriately freaking out, and the people around them are just like, huh, why are they freaking out? Oh my God, is it the old dude now? Oh shit, there he goes. Oh man. Oh yeah, there you go. You gotta throw up after that. What? He's not dead. Oh no. What does that mean now? Oh no, the dude with the mallet. Oh no. Oh. Alimony is weird. Oh my. Oh Jesus. Oh, everyone gets a turn, huh? Damn. Oh, no. So glad the cat made it down here in time for this. Like, that's unnecessary. Mm-hmm, 72. All right, so the other couple's cult buddy is like, oh, I'm sorry I didn't warn you better. But like, Danny, like, Cousin Larry didn't warn these guys at all. Are they supposed to warn them? Like, I mean, obviously they should. That's kind of fucked up to be like, hey, that's like this really cool, like, 9-day feast and festival. Oh, yeah, people are gonna jump to their death and we have to stand around and watch it. Like, course, you have to warn someone about that, but Cousin Letty didn't. Cousin Letty's brother did, kind of. But, like, what kind of explanation did he give the other couple? Where he's like, he's telling them, I'm sorry I didn't explain it better. Chidi's like way too okay. Man, Christian, it just keeps getting worse and worse. That is a dick move to do to Chidi. Don't sniff anything anyone hands you. Oh my God. Going from that moment with Pele and Danny and asking if she feels held by Christian to the smashed faces of the elders. Oh my God. Being rolled into a fire. Amazing. I love it. All right, and then the transition there with Danny in the fire as it fades into her sitting in the field. Oh, foreshadowing, maybe, possibly, probably. That was really, really shocking. Shut the fuck up, Christian. They just left her? So they pulled that, like, crumb catcher kind of thing from the fire pit where they burned the old folks. And with the fire still going, I would have thought it would have been much hotter than that. Yeah, so they didn't leave her. Oh, that Father Odd dude is full of shit. Straight up lying to Connie like that about her man just taking off. Yeah, I don't think he would do that either. I don't think her guy would just like leave without telling her. That's very suspicious. Father Odd. Yeah, need to invite outside people to put spells on. You know, that redheaded cult girl can absolutely have Christian. I don't think Danny should try and put up a fight. Meat tarts. Are the meat tarts people? They are all so full of shit. None of that happened. They are about to eat Connie. See, and Christian's eating pube pie. The redhead has her eyes on Christian, and that's A-OK. I think maybe they're gonna be eating Mark pie later. Oh, maybe it's gonna be Cheaty pie next because he's in there taking pictures of the book. After they were like, "Don't take pictures of the book." Dude, what the fuck was all of that? Oh my
God. That was... I didn't like it. Christian just continues to be a gigantic piece of shit. Throwing Chidi under the bus like that. We are not his friends and we don't associate or collaborate. Fuck you, dude. They're so creepily vague. It's a tea. Did Danny just marry that girl by drinking the tea and doing the breathing thing? What just happened? Okay, so just more mushroom tea, I guess.
All right, so it's the dance-a-thon around the maypole. I feel like this, like, Danny's gonna dominate this, maybe like on accident, and then she's gonna be crowned like the May Queen, and then like die? I think that's what happens to him? This movie is fucking bonkers. Oh, they're lighting a bear on fire, like per that image, and that one girl's house, because now we're with Christian for reasons. All right, I'm all for astrology and everything, but if there's ever any indication Christian is a strong match for anyone, that's when I might have to call bullshit. I do like the dress they gave Danny. Uh-oh, a couple of them fell down. But I like Danny's dress. I like the dress they gave her. I'd have to say, if they had pockets, I'd be kind of all over them. They just look so light and airy and comfortable. Holy shit, is this turning into like roller derby dancing? They gotta start taking people out? Because she just ran right into someone. They're fine, I think. Spring water with special properties. It's mushroom tea, dude. Yep, there she goes, winning the deadly dance-off. Oh, boy. Oh, they are all acting super weird. Oh, that one lady's mad. No, she looked mad. Mom? Oh. She's like hallucinating. Oh, and a big old smooch from Cousinetti. Ew. Oh, no. Ah! Just shoving the fish in her mouth? No. They're all on mushroom tea. Yeah. Christian's all fucked up. And I don't even feel sorry for him. Okay, that's a fun carriage, I'm not gonna lie. Ugh. Not so fun to have to pull it. Look, I need whatever horrible thing is going to happen to Christian to happen. Because I have been waiting for it. Please. Let it be terrible. What the fuck? What kind of fucking mop face mask is that? That's weird. Oh. Shit's getting a little weirder. Okay. Wiener. The look on his face when she starts singing. Do they have to do that every time someone has the sex? Because that seems like a big to-do. Is it just for the festival? Is it just because Redhead chose Christian and it's been approved and it's like the big thing? These are my questions. Oh boy. Yeah. Don't do it, Danny. Don't go in there. Oh. Grandma over there pushed on Christian's butt. Like, fuck her harder. So weird. And like the mimicking of the sounds and then doing everything all in like unison. It's weird. Is it like a way to like connect them all? Okay, so this was for baby making purposes. Purely. But I would assume like all their sex would have a purpose. I like that he's running around naked, just for the record. Not because I wanted to see this character naked,
but just male nudity, full frontal nudity being included. It's nice. It's appreciated. Oh, shit. That's a foot. What? What? What the fuck am I looking at? Someone strung up in... Who? Oh. Ew. What the fuck?
What the fuck?
Oh. That is fucked up.
Oh, shit. Pocket dust.
Oh, is that what's gonna happen to Christian? What they did to Simon?
Ooh.
Boop. And boop. Nice with the eyelid closing assist there from whichever old weird white dude that was. He can't speak and he can't move. Oh, shit. Going lottery style. Nice. I'm really nervous. Come on. Christian. Oh my god. They like stuffed him? Like stuffed them like herbs and stuff? Ugh. Oh, that's so fucking weird. Oh, no. No, this is not okay. Oh. What? They gutted the bear and stuffed it with Christian? And he still can't. Oh my god, there they go again with like the mimicking. What? Oh, it's so weird. Oh, fuck. That movie was fucking intense and it was wild and it was like weird and creepy and I kind of called it, but that's okay because like, god damn. Ooh, I liked this one. This was a solid pick. Oh man. Oh, and her little like smile at the end there. Ooh, I like this one. I liked this one a lot. All right, that was holy fuck, that was a movie. All right, so we'll go ahead and I'll go ahead and do kind of my general thoughts on it. And yeah, it's that was fucking wild. And, you know, I really liked this movie. Let me do the IMDb synopsis and credits. So according to IMDb, a couple travels to Northern Europe to visit a rural hometown's fabled Swedish midsummer festival. What begins as an idyllic retreat quickly devolves into an increasingly violent and bizarre competition at the hands of a pagan cult. All right, and this movie was written and directed by Ari Aster, and it stars Florence Pugh, Jack Raynor, Wilhelm Blomgren, William Jackson Harper, Will Poulter, Alora Torchia, Archie Madekwe, and many, many more. So yeah, I really, really enjoyed this. Solid pick, everybody. Thank you so much for voting for this one. And I'm kind of glad I waited and still went in, you know, waited as long as I did and still was able to go in blind. I did call it, and that's okay. Because it isn't always about the destination, but about the journey and getting there. And this was a great journey. I enjoyed it. I was very like nervous, intense, and like I immediately felt for Danny. Like, how can you not? Like, the movie opens with her losing her whole family. And I guess I kind of took it as something like nefarious. Like they were all murdered, but
with the way that her sister, it looked like the tube or hose or something was like taped to her mouth. I don't know. I mean, that's a hell of a way to go if you're going to commit suicide. And then the parents, because like the movie opens with Danny leaving the message on the answering machine and it kind of pans through the parents' house and we see that they're sleeping. But there was something off about the way they were laying there. It didn't seem like asleep laying down. And then, yeah, and they're dead. So was there, I'm sorry if I missed it, was there like carbon monoxide being pumped into the house in other ways? Leave the gas on or something? And just kind of like, maybe why? Like, we just know that her sister has bipolar, but that's all we know. So what could have driven her to do that and possibly murder the parents? Like, I just didn't see it. So I thought maybe they had been murdered, but it just, everything kind of moves along as if they weren't. And the way Cousin Larry, Pele, I think they pronounced it two different ways. Anyway, he's Cousin Larry. Because he seemed so happy that Danny decided to join them. And he seemed very much like, because he had that whole conversation about he understands what it feels like to be alone and to be an orphan and wanting to kind of like be accepted, and how, yeah, he was like kind of excited that she was coming along now. And so you don't really think that like he set any of that up, but like, what if he did? And maybe that's a little far-fetched, but we're dealing with like a cult. And these people clearly work quickly with their stories, their plans, you know, their bullshit. They were real quick on the excuses as to where Simon and Connie ended up going before the questions were barely asked. They had answers, which is very unsettling. That's not okay. I feel like that's not, that should be very much a red flag. So yeah, at first I didn't really think anything of it. It was, you know, a tragic accident, and it probably still is, not an accident, sorry. A tragic murder-suicide kind of thing that sends Danny down this like rabbit hole of grief and despair and acceptance and maybe, and her dependency on needing someone. She doesn't have anyone anymore. And I really don't know if she has any of her own friends, because like, I feel like if she had better friends, she wouldn't have to latch on to her piece of shit boyfriend. And, but she did, probably, you know, like looking for that comfort and everything, but not getting it because he's a piece of shit. So these events like kind of push her down this path of having this giant void to fill. And what do cults do? But they fill a giant void, and they are predatory and manipulative, and they like to play the long game and not just kind of come right out and be like, hey, we're a cult, but you know, like slowly, step by step, baby steps. And they really worked that with her. She definitely had kind of her moments of like, shit's all fucked up. Old people are jumping off cliffs. This is fucking weird. People are disappearing. But I think the need to have someone, to have something, was a bit too great. And we see her more or less gladly accepting the role of the May Queen. She's kind of like confused and like maybe a little weirded out by the whole thing, but you know, by the end, and very upset about the whole thing, you know, it's like, yeah, she still picked Christian to like be put in the bear suit and set on fire and everything.
But she still seemed to struggle with that. Either that or she was just struggling to walk in that gigantic flower thing, which was actually like really pretty cool. I really like the costumes and everything in this with just kind of that simplicity, but the still the uniqueness of all the different cult outfits, the dresses for the women and the robes for the men, and the artwork, you know, with the murals, or I guess you would call them, kind of telling their heritage. Very nice. Very, very nice. But yeah, so she's struggling with that, the dress, and, you know, possibly the dress and sending Christian to his death. But then it's like, as the KOA symbol is burning to the ground, we get that smile. It almost seems like she feels lighter now and very much like okay with what, with everything that just happened. These people are literally like worshiping her right now. And she's finding strength, family, and acceptance in that. And then, yeah, that's it. So like, you know, cuts to black, all of that. So what happens now? It's like, okay, one of my first questions. Like, I'm happy for Danny, I guess, in a way, because like, she found what she was looking for, even though it's probably not in the best, like the best place to obtain that kind of happiness to fill that void. But considering how, for lack of a better word, like just kind of weak and timid and, you know, like kind of a pushovery, just in, because she didn't want to lose. I truly think it's because she didn't want to like lose Christian. She didn't want to lose the little bit of support that she had. So she just like ate his shit. And he's all like coming at her when she's like trying to flip it when she's upset. And she's like, why didn't you tell me about Sweden? And he's like, I already apologized. Like, oh God. And then getting her to apologize. So I get that she doesn't want to lose that little bit of support. And that, and how that support is so toxic and that dependency. And it just kind of shifts to a different, like, eventually to like a different target, air quotes target. And she kind of latches on to them, the cult, after being, I think, slowly manipulated into it. Cousin Letty seemed very much like he wanted her to join and become family because she understands the loss, and or he understands the loss and the loneliness that she must be feeling. And I did like how he was all, you know, with Christian, with regards to Christian, he's like, does he feel like home? And that is a very good question. And that is a very valid question for anyone. And, you know, so that got her thinking. And so then she finds strength in this May Queen and having the power and control over Christian kind of for a change, and then sentencing him to his death, because that's what you do when you're a May Queen and you're high on mushroom tea. And you're like, I'm going to break up with my boyfriend in the most dramatic way. I can't help it. I love that for her. Cults are terrible. And I will say that, like, I truly don't believe I am above falling into a cult. I feel like that could happen. And because they're so sneaky and manipulative and just kind of will wait it out and just slowly work their way in. And yeah, with Christian, I was looking forward to his death for like the entire fucking movie. And it was satisfactory. That was good for me. I liked it. I enjoyed that. I liked that he couldn't move or speak. So he's like being burned alive and like literally can't do anything about it. Like, at least, you know, the one guy at least could like start screaming and flailing about. And I don't know. I feel like at least in that there's some sort of release of, you know, the pain. But when you're just numb like that and paralyzed like that, it's got to be so much worse. Oh. So that was great. You know, and that's kind of the other thing is, like, the violence in this movie, it's not a slasher movie, so it's not overly and kind of grotesquely overdone. It just doesn't, like, happen continuously throughout the movie. It isn't just, like, kill upon kill upon kill. It's kind of building up to these moments and those moments having an amazing payoff. And that's where the details in the gore and the smashed faces and the split open Simon, like all of that kind of comes into play. And it's not a lot, but it was just done so well, and where it was still just as impactful. And still just as like, I don't like it, but I love it. So I am 100% down with that. And I do like the ending that it just kind of cuts and we don't know what the fuck happens. Like, do these people's family come looking? Like, does Christian have a family that's going to come looking for him? Does Chidi have a family that's going to come looking for him? Mark, whatever. Who gives a shit? That dude was a piece of shit from the get-go. Definitely a bad influence on Christian, and I think maybe just Christian. So I wasn't sad to know that he was dead. And then when we see his body all stuffed and like a doll, like a straw doll, like that was, oh God, that was so fucked up. And then, but they had like their heads, but he had a jester's hat on, and I appreciated that because, yes, that dude is just a fucking joke. And I do like that the cult kind of obviously picked up on that and was just like, here you go. You know, with Simon, they shoved flowers in his eyeballs and, you know, split them open and all of that. With Chidi, it looked like, yeah, just stuffed and maybe some, like, twigs or herbs or something coming out of his mouth. And I wonder because I feel like how these characters were dressed in their ceremonial death doll gear very much reflects who these people were. You know, Mark in the jester hat because he's a fucking joke. I could see Simon with the flowers, you know, the lovey-dovey kind of hippie-ish, go with the flow, happy-go-lucky kind of guy, because he did kind of come across that way, especially with Connie, very much in love, flowery eyes. Chidi, with him being maybe so interested in telling their story and, you know, studying these, you know, this festival and other midsummer festivals, maybe that's why his mouth was stuffed with whatever. I didn't really get a good look, but I would assume some sort of like herbs and plants and flowers that have significant meaning. So because he wants to tell their story is why they shoved that shit into his mouth. Let's see, with Christian. Okay, because then like there was the foot in the garden. Was that also Chidi's foot? I'm not sure. And then I think Connie was one of the ones we saw being wheeled in the wheelbarrow. It was the way they looked, just so deflated. Like that old marijuana PSA. But yeah, I think, but since I couldn't really tell if that was her, and now thinking about it, I'm pretty sure it was. I don't remember, like, how she was dressed or anything, decorated. But I imagine it would have something to do with how they perceived her, which is fascinating. I also found it really fascinating, their whole concept of, you know, like these elders, you know, ending their life at 72, you know, supposedly by choice. I mean, they say it's by choice, but at the same time, once you've been kind of like brainwashed into being in an occult and accepting that way of life, is it really truly by choice anyway? But what they believe happens and what they think, I thought that was really fascinating.
you know, a bit of that reincarnation and coming back, and rather than just kind of waste away and, you know, going out on your terms-ish, air quotes. Really fucking interesting. And then, oh God, I think it was Christian, or maybe it was Chidi, but basically it was like, you know, well, Christian, you know, we put our elderly in you know, facilities when they get older and kind of, you know, forget them and let them live out the rest of their lonely days there. And is that worse? I don't think it is. It's really all about like what you make of your life, right? And like what you're, especially at that age, health-wise, and what you're capable of. But, you know, these people in the cult at 72 are still very much like able-bodied and functioning. And what if deep down they're like, no, no, I know I got like at least another 5 good years. Or like, why can't you just wait until they get sick or something? I don't know. But it was incredibly fascinating. And the way that they break up their age groups and kind of where they're sleeping in terms of their responsibilities, where they are at in life, and they go and do their kind of like Rumspringa or whatever at a certain age grouping, and then they come back and yada, yada, yada. So it seemed like it was just very fucking fascinating. And I really enjoyed it. That show was fucking crazy. So let's see, what else have I got to say about this? this movie. I think I'm about there. I think I just about got everything out. So, oh, the sacred KOA triangle temple hut thing. You know, as I'm watching it, setting up the sacrifices and everything and getting ready to burn it down, you know, obviously I'm like, this is clearly not a KOA, representative of a KOA campground. But then I thought, or is it? Because there's no privacy in between each seat / each campsite, right? You're all just kind of crammed in there. Just packed in there like sardines, like people sacrifices. You know, I will say that for a movie with a runtime of 2.5 hours, I thought it went quick. I thought that was a good use of 2.5 hours. I didn't feel like anything really like dragged or felt unnecessary. Everything was a nice build up to these banana ass moments. And then it's like once the violence and that intensity and whatnot hit, with the elders jumping to their death and whatever, that's when it really kind of grabs you. And it just really, really had me at that point. I mean, not to say that I wasn't in it to win it before that, but that's the kind of like big boom I talk about that pays off, in my opinion. That was fucking wild. And even though like I knew what was gonna happen and kind of called it, it was still, it played out so much better than I could have imagined. And it was just that much more impactful. And yeah, from that moment on, it's really, just really kind of had me. Because then it's like, well, what kind of crazy thing is going to happen next? And just pulls you in for that ride. So I thought it was a great, like I said, a great use of 2.5 hours. When I first looked it up and I saw that it was 2.5 hours, I got all whiny. I was like, what'd you guys do to me? I gotta sit through this long ass movie. But it was totally worth it. And like I said, does not feel like 2.5 hours. And then this whole like the cult kind of keeping the outsiders drugged up, but also them themselves a little drugged up all the time as well, with their like mushroom teas and huffing shit.
Is it a way to get the people, the outsiders, to be more complicit in accepting the wild shit that they are experiencing and seeing? It didn't really seem to work with Simon and Connie at the old cliff jumping ceremony, because he was instantly freaked out. The other three, because like Mark wasn't there, the other three, you know, Christian, Danny, and Chidi standing there with Cousin Letty, they reacted, but it didn't feel as, I guess, appropriate as Simon and Connie's. They seemed a little bit more, I don't want to say like okay with it by any means. You could still see that they were visibly like shaken. Christian even like throws up because he's all fucking dramatic. But it just seemed so subdued, their reactions. It wasn't appropriate. They were not freaking out enough. But I also feel like, you know, like Christian and Chidi, maybe a little bit of Danny, they've been doing the drugs. And I'm sure Simon and Connie have been doing the drugs and drinking the mushroom teas and whatnot. But it, maybe not as much. Because I think these guys, our little group that we were following, they're really thinking they're going to some kind of like big old like festival party kind of thing. Like a, I don't know what young people do for their big parties. What's the one where they burn the big stick man? I want to say Wicker Man, but I know that's not it. Fuck, what is it? Maybe it isn't. I don't know. But I feel like maybe that's what those guys thought they were signing up for, to an extent. I think Chidi was always interested in it from that anthropologist angle, which is fine. But that's why I think maybe those guys were, our little group here, were more of a, like I said, subdued reaction to shit getting weird. And honestly, like, shit got weird, like, from the beginning. But it's easy to kind of, like, excuse that stuff away, you know? Like, when you're first getting there and it's like, okay, well, it's a festival and they're dressing like this to pay homage and respects to, you know, their gods and everything. And I like how they kind of kept pushing it too as like a cultural thing, a cultural difference, and trying to be respectful of their cultural differences and their ancestral tree and maybe like not peeing on it and stuff like that. But so I thought that was kind of fascinating too. Like how much are we going to excuse as a cultural difference when we see just bananas ass shit like that. Old people jumping off of cliffs. Like, I'm pretty sure they were eating people pie, pube pie. Like, how much is like too much before you're like, okay, I respect our cultural differences, but there are some things that are just universally morally not okay. But I think could also be why I enjoyed this movie as much as I did. So. All right, I think I need to start kind of wrapping this up. This was so good. This was so good. I loved it so much. Thank you all so much for making me watch this movie. let's see. Oh, I guess one last kind of stray bubble that I have was the redheaded girl that had her eyes set on Christian. You know, You gotta hand it to her. She knew what she wanted, and she went out and she got it at any cost, at all the costs. And you know, you have to kind of admire that level of passion and hashtag girl boss. So, all right, I'm done. With all of that said, that's gonna do it for me today. So. But let me know what you thought of today's episode, or if you have any suggestions for future episodes. You can send all of that to mystreamingbubble@gmail.com. Make sure you are following my podcasts. Yes, that's right. Two. This one, obviously, My Streaming Bubble. And you can find me over on Twitter at Streaming Bubble. No my in that. Facebook, Instagram, and Threads as My Streaming Bubble. And you can listen on a podcast player near you. My second podcast is Twin It to Win It. And that is a monthly podcast that I co-host with my podcast brain twin, Erin, where we test our twinningness by trying to guess how the other one feels about various movies. So if we've guessed right, then we've twinned it and we're winning it. And if we guessed wrong, then, you know, we're not twinning it. So therefore, we are not winning it. But make sure you follow us over if you're on Twitter. You can find us there at Twin It Twin Pod. No second it in that. Facebook, Instagram, and Threads as Twin It Twin It Podcast. And you can listen to us on most podcast players. Whew. All right. Well, thank you all for listening. And until next time, keep streaming. Bye. If you're enjoying the podcast, here are a few ways to show your continued support, like rating and reviewing on a podcast player near you and sharing your favorite episodes with your friends, family, and mail carrier. If you're looking for merch, then stop by my Redbubble store where you can find and buy My Streaming Bubble stickers, hats, shirts, and more. You can also find me over at buymeacoffee.com and, well, buy me a coffee. Thank you for your continued support, and keep streaming. Bye!